We're going to be delayed about 5 minutes. I'm going to be disconnecting. So you're welcome to stay on, listen to the music, or call back in about 5 minutes. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Okay.
Great. We're starting now. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimimcha Tati Serura Alephet Gimel Yuntap Sadi. Gematria of these six letters is 506. The same gematria as the phrase Ahavati Nam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative entity who gives us free will. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevalam Samrei. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Tav Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet is a sequence that has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah or sustenance. Yud Tav Shin, sequence that we use to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barachem tacharem rachamei sidkacha tamid gamayim betet resh sadi taf gimel. The sequence we use during the month of Av, which we are in, the two letters of this month, the kaf that created the sun, and the tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, as well as the Hebrew month of Av itself. We also connect to the sphera of Netzach, and one of its attributes is eternal victory. Chasim Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sphira of Hod. One of the aspects of Hod is appreciation, thankfulness. And it's always good to consider what we need to be thankful for. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zogre kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Ezayim Kuf. This sequence allows us to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufal Tzadi Yutah. first two letters have a gematria of 400, representing the four worlds in their perfected state of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The last four letters have a gematria of 506, the same as the first phrase, and it's relating us to ahavatinam, unconditional love. And it is from this that we learn that the creative process, the flow to perfection, starts with and consists of continuously injecting love into the process.
Give me 10 seconds. I'll try and remember to have the Zohar by me next time.
So I will read a verse from this week's parasha of Ekev, which has to do with eating on a physical level as well as a spiritual level. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'neinu. Adhaki sava es deman v'gabe v'yamar raya mehemana takin patora l'marach le ulmat ronita mikol minei idunin v'kaima be zeh hashulkam asher lifnei Adonai v'ha'ad ka'an kuhu mit'am ye mipatora d'malka ha'idiktiv l'hu v'chamu. This is being read from the second section of Ekev. The owner of the house breaks the bread, and the guest recites the blessing. Meanwhile, an old person came to him and said, "Faithful shepherd, prepare a table for your master, for him and his queen, and with all kinds of delicacies to fulfill in it. This is the table that is before Hashem." That's a verse from Yehezkel. "For until now, everyone was enjoying from the king's table, as it says, 'Come, eat of my bread.' Bread is the written law, meaning zeronpin, and the wine of the Torah is the oral law, which is malchut. In malchut, there are many dainties from the various sweet meanings of the Torah and from all the victuals and delicacies in the world of the king." I think the verse is pretty straightforward. It's talking about setting a Shabbat table, setting any table really, but mostly most people today is talking about a Shabbat table. And the main idea is to have lots of different delicacies within the reason of what you can afford. Today we're talking about tshuva, but before we go into that, does anybody have any questions from last week? Do we need to review restrictions?
I did apply that to my personal life, and for some reason it worked, believe it or not.
Joe, what do you mean for some reason? It always works. If you do it right, it always works. But Baruch Hashem,
the problem totally dissolves itself.
Baruch Hashem, it's exactly the kinds of ways restriction works. You were anticipating a problem, and we don't need to go into the details, but you anticipate a problem, you have a reaction to that anticipation, you do restriction, and you change to a different movie that problem doesn't appear in. And that's the way it works, and it always works when you do it right. Unfortunately, a lot of times we think we're doing it right, and we're really just suppressing our reaction. So that's something we strive to suppress.
I realized what the alternative was, and I didn't suppress it. I went ahead and didn't do something what I was supposed to do. I didn't do it, and that killed the problem. Killed it in the get-go. It's quite involved. By avoiding a whole mess.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. I'm glad it's been useful, and I hope you'll continue to use it. Bacha, are you clear?
It's been helpful. I could have
Bacha?
Oh, I asked for more headache, and my headache disappeared, so that was good.
We all laugh at that, but it's a form of restriction. When you get a chance to listen to the recording, Joe, you'll understand it more. But the class that you heard, we discussed restriction. And then the one on Wednesday, we discussed what do you do in different situations. Because sometimes our life goes, everything's running smoothly in our life. What's the restriction in that? How do I keep it going? Why does it have to end? And it doesn't have to end if we inject appreciation, which is a form of restriction. And the other side of it is what Bacha experienced, is why you have pain is a wake-up call. And you don't need to have any more once you start restriction.
Complacency is a bad thing.
I'm sorry?
Complacency is a bad thing, in effect. It can't be too sure. Things change very rapidly.
Especially as in our generation, as time gets shorter.
Yeah.
It's very true. All right, so let's move on to Tshuva. I can't even pronounce it today. Tshuva is typically translated as repentance. And then people will talk in terms of saying, I'm sorry. But all of that is a real, real corruption. Because in Hebrew, the word for I'm sorry is slicha. And even that's a corruption because slichot, which we will start doing and talk about next week. We start doing it in about 3 weeks, but we'll talk about it next week. Slichot is a process of cleansing. And I'm saying I'm sorry is like a process of cleansing. But what are you sorry for? And how deep is your sorry? Are you just mouthing the words, or do you really feel remorse? What the Zohar brings and the Ari explains in more detail and all of the Kabbalists stress, tshuva is a process. By looking at the word tshuva, which is two words, it's one word with a feminine ending with a hey at the end. And the word that it's in front of that hey is the word tshuv, which means return. And so the essence is built into the Hebrew word. It's telling us to return the hay. And so we have to understand this metaphor. God's name is spelled Yud Hey Vav Hey. When we do something that is incorrect, a mistake, the metaphor is that the hay separates from the other three letters. There's now a space between that hay and the yud, the hay, and the vav. That space in the system of light and vessel, that space can only be filled with darkness, can only be filled with the satan. And what we are trying to do with our tashuv hay, our tshuva, is to return that hay to the point where it was connected before the break, before the separation, before the mistake that we did. So tshuva is actually, Rabbi Berg refers to it as back to the future, like the name of the movie that you with. I'm sure you're aware of the movie where the guy.
Michael J. Fox
and the older man. But the idea of the movie is exactly what we're going to describe today. The guy said he went back in time to a point change something, and then he came back to the future and found the future changed. And that's what we will be doing with tshuva when we do it in a proper way. So first we need to understand tshuva from the religious standpoint to give you a frame of reference. If you go to your rabbis and for the last 2,000 years, the rabbis tell you to do tshuva during the month of Elul. And that's the first mistake. Tshuva can be done at any time and should be done whenever you recognize that you've made a mistake. It's called Cheshbon HaNefesh, the calculation of the soul. But people do it every night. People do it once a week. They review their week. They're not their day. What did they do? Did they hurt anybody? Could they have helped people that they didn't? Review your actions and say, make change. What will I do better tomorrow? That's called Tikkun HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh. And it's something that the Kabbalists recommend that we do. But with the religious aspect of tshuva, you went to the rabbi and he said, during Elul you can do tshuva because God is closer to you. And then he would say, make a list of things that you did wrong. Make a list, two at list actually, things you did wrong between you and God, and things you did wrong between you and other people. And you can do this for any time in the past. So it doesn't have to be just this past year, but most people concentrated on this past year because supposedly they had done tshuva for everything they did wrong in the earlier years. And then the process was to do the following four steps. On the items that you had hurt someone else, that it was between you and another person, you had to go and ask that person for forgiveness. And then you said, I'm sorry, because as part of asking for the forgiveness, the first step is to say confession. It's called the doing. To admit that you had made a mistake orally. Then you go to the other person and ask him for forgiveness. And once he gives you forgiveness, you then go to a conversation between you and Hashem where you say, I'm sorry, I've been forgiven, I will not do it again. And the only difference between the list that has to do with human beings and the list that has to do with God is you don't have to ask God for forgiveness. He already forgives you. So it's just to confess that you did wrong and then to say, I'm sorry that I did it, and then to move on, essentially. I'm sorry that I did it, and I will not do it again. And so what happens? Next year you do it again. You do the same actions, the same mistakes. And every year, this is what religious Jews have been doing for 2,000 years. But the Kabbalists explain it in a very different way. Yes, Joe?
You mean you keep it, you do the same thing over again, you know?
A simple thing. I overeat. Last year, I went to God and said, God, I overeat. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And all it took was the feast after Yom Kippur, and that was it. I was overeating at that meal all over again. Totally forgot, because I was hungry and just... That's the kind of thing that we do. It's not that it's surface level. It's very real.
It's repetitive.
It's our patterns or behavior are consistent. From one day to the next, we do the same things. And we're not, you know, sometimes we hurt somebody, sometimes we scream at somebody, sometimes we yell at somebody. Sometimes we don't call to and ignore somebody that we should have remembered. These are all these different human actions is what we need to do tshuva about. Because all of those actions have one thing in common. They're based on a desire to receive for oneself alone. I didn't think about calling the other person because I was busy with myself. I had my business, I had my my relationship, my girlfriend, whatever it was that I didn't call. I constantly, and this is a pattern, I do not call the people in my life on their birthday. My children do not get calls on their birthday. Their mother never got a call on their birthday when we were married. I used to joke about it. That's my pot. I'll give you the present on a day that's not your birthday, so that because everybody else is calling you, I don't want to be part of the crowd. But that's not really the truth. The truth is, I forgot. How do you forget your children's birthday or your anniversary or your wife's birthday? How do you do that? Because you're busy with yourself. All of our human actions stem from this same central point. And that's essentially what the Kabbalists teach us about tshuva. Tshuva, at its deepest level, clears up the following story. A man is in a 7-Eleven shopping, is picking up some cigarettes and some potato chips. And in comes a robber with a gun. And the robber points it at the man to move over towards the cashier so he can cover both of them. And the man is too slow, and the robber shoots him, and he dies. Now, the robber doesn't know that the man had 12 children. And the only thing that kept those children from starving to death was his paycheck. So he dies leaving a widow with 12 children. The man, the robber, is sentenced to prison for 25 years. And in prison, he learns about tshuva. And he says to the rabbi who's explaining it to him, how can I do tshuva? The man's dead. I can't bring him back to life. And the rabbi's answer is, let's see what happens if you do the tshuva. You kept tabs on the woman because you cared. You knew it was a mistake. You blew it. You caused major harm. A man was killed. But you've kept tabs on the woman. You know what's going on in their life.
Woman and his wife.
The wife of the man who died. So they spent some time doing tshuva, and it's a very detailed, extensive process. And he reached that level of true tshuva. And what is true tshuva? It's when God will testify that you will never do that action again. That action makes you sick. That action horrifies you. That action is no longer part of you. You cannot do it. And God testifies to that effect, or will testify if necessary. So he reached this level. A week after this conversation with the rabbi returns to the prison to, and what happens? The man tells him that the woman has gotten married to a wealthy man who has promised to put all 12 kids through college at his expense. She's moved into a big house. All of the dreams that she had given up because she had as a child and as a young girl and then growing up getting married, all those dreams she'd given up when her husband died came back and manifested in this new husband. And what else happened? He was given a parole. He was leaving the prison in a month. Now, you could believe this story, you could not believe this story. This is how tshuva works, just like you found out how restriction works. Now, let's understand what is the process, because it is not an easy one. It's back to the future. That means, in your meditation, you carve out some time to be alone. You go into a meditation. Use the Anabha clock, because that's a meditative tool that's very effective. If you have other techniques, use those other techniques. But in your meditation, you need to visualize that room, that action that you did. In the case we were talking about of the man shooting the man shooting in the store, he needs to smell the air of that room. He needs to feel the fear that he was feeling holding the gun. He needs to feel exactly all of the emotion and tension and evaluation of that moment in time when he pulled the trigger. He has to look at that from the outside while he's feeling that in his meditation, so that it makes him sick. He realizes how horrible an event it is and was. And he really, truly becomes sorry. Not sorry on the surface level, please forgive me, but to the point that the thought of a gun, the thought of pulling the trigger, will physically make him sick. He so changes himself through this meditation of reliving that past moment and injecting these different attitudes, that when he comes out of the meditation, he is no longer the same person. The movie that he was in that put him in jail has changed. The gunshot never happened. Now, how could it be? The man died, and we just described. That man died, but she remarried into a much happier, better relationship, better for her kids, better for her. So, did the man die, or did she move on in her life? The whole idea of tshuva, of returning the hay, is to get to that point that what caused you to do the bad action, the wrong action, the mistake, is no longer part of who you are. You are a different person. And because you are that different person, the negative effect of that action, the chaos that is associated with that action, cannot find you. It's waiting out there in the universe. It's still there. And it won't be cleaned up until the last day when Hashem cleans it all up. But it cannot find you because, let's say the man's name was Moshe. Moshe that it's looking for, it's been told, go find Moshe and give him this chaos. And it goes to look for Moshe, and then it goes back to the universe, goes back to God, and says, I couldn't find Moshe. He's not there. There's this guy, looks like Moshe, but he's not Moshe. He's not the same guy. Inside, he's different. This is tshuva. This is what we strive to do leading up to the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, primarily because when we'll discover next week or the week after, Yom Kippur literally is the day that you create your year. It's not that God write me in a book of life. God, give me good give me a good life. You create your year on that day. We'll give you techniques of when to do it within the process of the ritual. But all of those actions, if you have changed yourself, then when you go to change your year, to build your year for next year, it won't be doing it for the same person you were this year, because you will have become a different person. Tshuva is this step of this meditation. Yes, you still have to do the confession, the vidui. You still have to go to the people you've hurt and ask their forgiveness. And if they don't forgive you, you have to go and ask again. You have to beg. Because if you truly realize the mistake is so horrible, wouldn't you beg to be forgiven? Yes, it sometimes is very difficult to do that. But ultimately, these same steps have to be done, with the difference of the depth of your meditation, with the difference of having changed yourself. And when that is done, the movie of your life changes. It's a form of restriction that changes to a different movie. This is tshuva. Now, we are entering a period, this past Shabbat is called Shabbat Nachamu. It's a period of 7 weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah. It's a period of 7 weeks where the people that you have hurt will come back into your life. You'll get a phone call. You'll get a thought to call them. Something will remind you of the things that you have done wrong. So on this list, whenever you get some of these new thoughts that you haven't, aren't on the list yet, put them on the list. And keep the list from year to year. Because what you don't cleanse this year, you can do next year. Better to do it all this year if you can take the time and if you can change yourself that much. But as we always caution in Kabbalah, take it slowly, step by step. Do one item. I have a student who had an abortion as a late teenager, 19-year-old girl. She's now married with two boys, and she has dreams about her daughters calling to her, talking to her. We spoke about her past and what it could be, and she explained about the abortion. And she is now working on the third year of getting to that point where she would not do that abortion again. Now, I'm not saying we're against abortion or pro-abortion. That's not the issue. We're talking about one person who realizes that they did wrong for themselves on this issue. This time, we're not talking about every abortion or every person. I'm using it as an example so that you understand it's what you feel you did wrong. These feelings will come up over the next 7 weeks.
I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
I missed the point. You go back on your meditation and you change what happened the way you would like it to happen. I was dozing out for some reason.
It's a very deep, difficult concept. In the meditation is that moment in time that you did the action. That moment in time that you had the thought to do the action. One or the other. It's not a series. In the idea of the guy pulling the trigger, it's literally that moment where his finger clenched. What did he feel? How could he have stopped it? for those of you on the conference call, the Ubu program disconnected. Now we're getting reconnected, so we'll just continue where we left off.
Okay.
Sorry about that. That's part of technology. Okay. What I was starting to explain is this moment. Your meditation is reliving that moment.
Okay.
Your meditation is sensing with your skin, with your smell, with your sight, with your sound, every one of your senses, and even your intuitive senses, is at that moment again, reliving that moment all over. And you change the action in the meditation.
Okay.
You change your feelings about the action in the meditation. You change who you were at that moment in time.
You give it a different ending? Typically
it's a different ending. But it can just be a different thought, a different reason for why you did the same action.
Okay.
But typically most people are doing things that they felt they did wrong, that hurt somebody. And so they want to change the ending.
Yes.
But once you have done that, that you feel that you are not that person, that literally that ending that you don't like anymore, you couldn't do that again. I'll tell you a joke which a friend of mine told me, and I used to use it before I started to study Kabbalah. The one thing I learned about the mother of my children, absolutely the one thing that I will never forget, is never to marry that woman again. It has nothing to do with I won't get married again. It has to do with that woman. We were at that point no longer right for each other, and we moved apart. If I wanted to change the decision about the divorce, I could. Now, I don't want to change that because I know it's part of my correction, and we did it very nicely with each other and moved on happily. But the whole idea of what we are talking about with tshuva is not I'm sorry. It's I'm different. I no longer can stomach that action. I will get sick to my stomach. I will vomit if I were to hold a gun again, if it was the man in the prison. But it's different for every person based on their situation. So if you have questions about that, when you look at your list, you're not clear about what you did wrong or what your feelings were, there are techniques to reimagine that event and get back to that point. And that's part of what this woman had with the abortion, because it was such a traumatic time for her that she had blocked out those memories, and she couldn't get back to that point until just recently.
How about people that are not in your life anymore, that you cannot go directly and ask for forgiveness?
You're talking about somebody who's moved out of the country, somebody has died and is no longer in the physical world.
Yes. Okay. For any reason.
Well, any reason.
You cannot go physically and ask face to face for forgiveness.
But you can do it in your meditation.
In the meditation, okay.
Within the meditation. Your meditation is recreating that point in the movie and changing it completely. If somebody has died, it just means they've moved to a different frame of reference, a different world. It's that, yes, they're not here physically, but it does not mean that you don't communicate with them.
No, yes.
You start to visualize them in your meditation. They are there. Because ultimately we will come to understand, but I have to tell you, don't believe a word I say. We will come to understand that the only thing that matters is consciousness. The only thing that is real is what I think. But that takes a deep understanding, and you will get it through working on tshuva, and start to realize that moment is so impacted into my life, and the change of it so impacts my life going forward that you just become overwhelmed with it. Yes, you still have to do, please forgive me. You still have to confess. But the work is in the meditation. The work is in changing yourself. It's not in saying, please forgive me. I thought I decided it was wrong. You know, does that take the pain away? The answer is no. But tshuva takes the pain away. That person will forget the pain. He never felt it because the action never happened. How can it be that deep, that strong, is a question that we all struggle with as we come closer to Hashem, as we start to utilize the tools of Kabbalah. We all question, how can this be? But you'll find it to be true. The action that you did that the person felt pain, embarrassment, upset, he forgot about it. His memory, it's no longer in his memory. Totally gone. Because you never did that action. In this movie you're presently in, from this point forward, that action was not part of its past. Because you have changed it. You have gone back to the past, changed it, and now come back to the now, which is the future from the past. You come back to this moment in time, and now you're in a movie that doesn't have that event from the past. That's tshuva at its ultimate deepest level. Now, there are other levels. I'm not saying, and no one will ever say, don't say I'm sorry to somebody you hurt. But don't think you're really changing anything. Understand the levels of tshuva. I can really feel uncomfortable about an action I did, but I haven't changed it. But this, I do tshuva. It's a different level of tshuva. It's part of the process of reaching that deepest level of tshuva. There are various steps and levels involved in tshuva, and you'll reach them. This woman that I speak to you about with the abortion, every year for the last 3 years, she has done tshuva at a different level each time.
Was the dream about her daughter?
Yes.
Ignited that in
yes.
her mind?
Yes. Her daughter came to her in the dream and said, it didn't have to happen. I want to be born, but I can't be born because of that blockage. And it goes back into her history. As a young girl, she didn't want children. So she absolutely, you know, she didn't want children. She was never going to have children. And when she found herself pregnant, it was an automatic reaction. She had an abortion. She didn't think twice. Now she is thinking twice. Now she's going back. And what's prompted that was this dream that repeats itself. It's not just a one-time dream. But she is cleansing this. And she will get pregnant again and have a daughter because she has been doing this work. Are there any other questions?
Is by doing this tshuva and asking for forgiveness, is it any way help us that other people, that if somebody did us wrong and they will not do tshuva on us, so is that process going to help us both ways? This is because people did us, I mean, we did people wrong and people did us wrong.
No.
And they're not going to do tshuva on us.
Bacha,
so we're not going to be free
from suffering. Bacha, stop. You are assuming something that isn't true. And it's very human. The assumption is very human, and everybody agrees. Yes, somebody did hurt you, and they're not going to do tshuva. But the truth is, if you got hurt, it's because that's what you needed to have happen to you at that moment in time to wake you up. So the person who hurt you doesn't have to do tshuva. You were the one who created that person to do that, give you that pain. So the tshuva that you can do for that incident is to thank that person for helping you wake up and learn and grow. And that will change your ways of dealing with that pain. It can be very confusing, but it's not. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that we create the world we live in. And the other person creates the world they live in. Now, the world you live in has that person in it. And the world they live in has you in it. And there could be two mutually exclusive thoughts in those creations. What Hashem does is balance those two movies, make them fit together so that they work with natural laws, both spiritual and physical natural laws. That's what Hashem does every instant in recreating our environment, our world, our movie. By going to and recognizing and accepting the responsibility, I caused myself this pain from some action I did in somewhere else, previous lifetime, previous part of this lifetime. For some reason, I need to feel this pain. And by feeling that pain, I cleanse something. And so the person who gave me that pain was being a channel from the light, from God, to give me this pain. So I want to thank him. And ultimately, the deepest level is to say, I'm sorry that I have caused you to hurt me. And therefore, you have chaos in your life from that action that I now caused. I realized I caused it. You didn't hurt me, but you did an action that causes chaos in your life. That action was really caused by me forcing you to be a channel from God to give me this pain.
Okay.
It's very deep, very difficult to understand. But when you do, it removes so much chaos. Because you are now, it's not a question of telling them, oh, you go ahead and do tshuva, I don't have to. You have to do tshuva for what you did, and you have to do tshuva for what you caused them to do. And it's in that same moment, the same meditation, when you look at it from his side and your side, the changes take place. Any other questions?
So to have compassion for them and understanding that it's something that I did for them to cause. I got it.
It's always helpful to verbalize it. So when you feel like it again, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to make one comment. Next Sunday at the same time, we're going to start preparing for the high holidays. I'll be doing a class on the 22 days of holiday in Tishrei. The cafe has asked that those people who attend this make a donation of $2 or $3 each towards their costs of opening up the hour early and as part of giving us the room for free. And with respect to the donation for myself, you can do it through PayPal. When you go to PayPal, you can click on they asked for an email address and just use yeshem@hotmail.com to make your donation, and I would appreciate that. If you'd rather wait and do it every couple of weeks rather than one time, that's fine. Just keep me in mind for your donation. I'm sorry?
We pay him now?
The cafe you can pay now, but to get payment to me, you have to use PayPal. There's no way you can make a donation to me. I'm not physically there.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to be forgotten because it's all part of the process. Are there any other questions? If not, have a good week. I'm available by phone or email. Utilize the services. I'm here to help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.